Cape Talk. Fabulous finds.
This is the part of the show where we, to an extent, hand control of the programming to you, our audience, and we invite you to share with us your hidden gems of the city. It doesn't really matter what sort of hidden gem you're talking about. It could be a small business that you think gives great service. It could be a shop you love to visit. It could be a natural environment that is particularly beautiful and that you think deserves to be visited more often. We really don't set too many criteria other than you tell us what is special about your neighborhood. And you do that by sending an email to pippah@capetalk.co.za and SMS to 31567, or by leaving a voice note or sending a WhatsApp message to 0725671567, and please just put the words fab find somewhere in that message. This week, that message came in from Dillian, who emailed us to tell us about her fabulous find, and this is what she wrote. I'd like to share a delightful find with you, a shop and factory called Foster and Welsh, purveyors of fine aromatics. They're based in the Pinelands Business Park, and they produce and sell the most heavenly aromatic soaps and other holistic skincare products. As you walk through the door of Foster and Welsh, she wrote, you're engulfed in the most sensuous, heavenly aromas of citrus, rose, geranium, cedarwood, and more. Dr. Sandy Nye, who's a doctor of naturopathy, is the master alchemist at this establishment, working alongside her son Simon. And Dillian goes on to write, they're both passionate about health and about top quality natural ingredients used in their products. And I have to add, they compare favorably to other luxury brands at a fraction of the price. Well, Dillian, thank you so much for that nomination and for sharing the news with us that we have such a beautiful space in Pinelands. Delighted to welcome in studio with us Sandy herself, Dr. Sandy Nye of Foster and Welsh. Welcome to the studio.
Thank you, Pippa.
I know this is truly a family business. You, in fact, learnt the art of making artisanal soap at the hands of your grandmother.
I did.
Tell us a bit more.
When I was 12 years old, my grandmother, who was a herbalist, really encouraged me to learn about plants. And also, one of the things was making soap. So we used what was in the garden or what was available. And that's about 53 years ago now. Wow. That I made my first soap, and I'm still going.
When did you realize that family sort of trait that you'd learned at her hands was going to become your lifelong career opportunity?
I think really at that time, you know, I started off studying nursing first, and then discovered that really wasn't giving me what I needed to express using natural products and natural herbs and materials like that. So that naturally led on to naturopathy, which as a career path. But the making of soap and products has been part of it all the way through, just for our own use, then extended into my patients' use, and then into more commercial products and formulating for other companies and manufacturing for them, as well as our own product line.
Okay. Before we talk about the product line in the factory, I think let's talk a little bit more about what you mean by naturopathy. There might be listeners going, I'm not quite sure what that is, how that's different from other terms we hear. Won't you explain in your words what you mean?
Naturopathy is a profession along the lines of all the other healthcare professions like homeopathy and phytotherapy. It is basically being a doctor of natural medicine and using the natural medicines that have been provided by nature for health and healing. So where homeopaths would use homeopathic preparations, we would use natural preparations made from herbs or essential oils in this case.
Okay, now let's talk. I mean, the studio smells the best it has ever smelled, because Sandy's walked in with a whole assortment of these wonderful soaps that look beautiful and smell just unbelievably good. So you say essential oils. What else goes into these soaps that you produce?
Well, all soap is made from fatty acids or oils and lye and water. And then anything else you wish to add to dolly it up is a bonus after that. But if you combine oils or butters like shea butter and cocoa butter or olive oil with lye, which is caustic soda for making hard soaps, and some water, you have a chemical reaction that ends up as soap.
Okay.
And the magic comes in to what else you put into it and what shapes you do and how creative you choose to be with it.
Well, it looks like you're extremely creative, because I'm seeing not only beautifully colored and wonderful smelling, but also wonderfully shaped. And I mean, the sheep, I absolutely love the sheep that are in front of me. How do you, I mean, you make this mixture. Obviously, I'm not going to ask you to give away your trade secrets of what you add in detail, but how do you actually mold the soap? What sort of materials do you work with?
Well, the stone soaps that called Deline's Fancy, they're basically tumbled stones that we pick up on our travels and journeys. Those particular ones come from Arniston, And then we use silicone and actually mold it around the soap. And the silicone is a wonderful substance to work with because, as you can see, it picks up absolutely every detail.
Yeah.
So those are then individually made. And if you want to make 10 soaps the same, you have to make 10 silicone molds or make one 10 times
over.
So it's a labor of love as well.
Yeah. I mean, what we're talking about when we talk about the stone soaps, they look like a huge pebble that you've picked up while wandering the beach. And they are mottled and colored and textured with little, you know, dings here and there. And if you were to put this in the garden, you would never know walking past it that it wasn't in fact a soap. They are as natural looking as it comes. Now let's talk about the smell, because this absolutely wonderful aroma is coming at me from all directions. What kind of essential oils are you using to create that beautiful smell?
Well, that one is a mossy pebble. Look, it was we used it as an overpour for another batch of soap we were making for a client. And that one has rosemary and cedar and lemon eucalyptus in particular in it.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the ones that you're looking at with the grey stones, they're meant to really look like tumbled pebbles.
Yes.
That has a combination of other essential oils in it, including a wonderful oil which you thought was lemongrass, but is actually exotic verbena.
It's so fresh and it's sharp but soft at the same time.
It's not quite as harsh or as sharp as lemongrass is, yet it has that lovely refreshing lemony scent. Mm. And then there's also cedarwood in there to help ground it and round it out a bit.
Where do you source your materials to make these soaps?
Well, the vegetable oils and the butters, you know, are sourced locally as far as possible. We use a lot of the indigenous oils. So if we're looking at things like marula or baobab or Kalahari melon seed, we try and get it directly from the farmers as far as we can. Same with the essential oils. The Cape chamomile or the rose geranium is indigenous. We try and use as much indigenous as we can. And then where we can't find indigenous, we obviously have to use imported oils.
Okay. Now, it's not just soaps that you make. I know Foster and Welsh has other products as well.
We do. We have skincare products. We have body lotions and face creams and a variety of products that are good for the body and safe to use on it without petrochemicals or parabens or the things that people tend to not want to use if they, you know, nature inclined and ecologically concerned.
Or if they have eczema like myself, where those things trigger skin conditions. So to go as natural as possible is always better. I can see Sue has given us a call from Sunningdale with a question for you. I'm going to ask you to pop your headphones on, please, Sandy, so that you can clearly hear Sue. If anybody else wants to know more and ask a question or make a comment, you're welcome to do what Sue's just done and dial 021-446-0567. Sue, welcome to the show.
Hi, Papa. Hi, Sandy. Sandy, it's Sue that knows you from PE very well.
Oh, hi, Sue.
Hello. I have a question I don't know whether you have the answer to, but if you don't, perhaps some other listeners do, but I'm sure you'll know. You know, we've got the grey water problem at the moment, and the grey water's smelling, and we're trying to recycle it and put it into our loos. What can we do that is eco-friendly to help, A, with the smell, and B, the smell while you're storing it, and be with actually in the loo itself? Do you have any little sparks of info for us there?
Sure.
Great question, Sue.
Sure, Sue, it is a great question. First of all, if you're smelly, you should use our soap. You'll smell fabulous and you'll save water. You won't have to use as much water and you'll smell good. But for the loo, we make something called a loo lozenge. It's basically a toilet balm. And you make it with bicarbonate of soda and citric acid and essential oils. And you pop those in and they're biodegradable and it helps to really curb the smells and also to combat bacteria.
I know a lot of people are getting very concerned about what sort of products they're using while bathing, knowing that they're going to catch the grey water and use it, for example, in the garden. Would your range of soaps be safe for those purposes?
Yes, they certainly are, because everything in the soap is natural. Some of the colorants are mineral mica, which doesn't cause any problem in the environment. And also, we make a specific soap that can be used in seawater. Most soap doesn't actually lather in seawater. So we make a coconut oil-based soap that lathers in seawater. And we might be needing to use that on Clifton Beach.
I suspect you're about to sell out in the next half an hour of that product, judging by our listeners' questions. A WhatsApp saying, your soap guest sounds great. We can't smell through the radio, but please put some pics out. Absolutely. My producer, Amy, has taken photos of all the soaps we're describing, and she's going to tweet them for you to take a look at. I'm sorry you can't smell it. I wish you could, because it is so beautiful. Let's talk a bit about your production facility. As you've described, a labor of love, handcrafting those molds. How big are you in terms of the number of people employed in this business?
Well, we have two employees and a number of dear people who are called lab rats, who come in on an ad hoc basis as business comes in. And, you know, because the soap takes 6 weeks to cure, generally between 6 and 8 weeks, it's a supply and demand thing. Yeah. So when you suddenly get an order, you have to, all hands on deck, create, then it goes onto the curing racks, and it's there for 6 weeks. It gets turned, it gets checked, the pH gets checked, and then when it's ready, it gets packed and goes off to the stores or to the client that we're making for. And the same goes for ourselves. Well, we have more leisure to make what we choose for our own sales.
Yeah.
But for clients, we have deadlines and we have production schedules. And
fair enough. Now, speaking of things that you might make for a special order, Valentine's Day is just around the corner. You've made a special range of your soap stones, especially for Valentine's Day. Tell
we
us
have.
A bit more.
My husband came up with the idea of, why don't you actually put something that's sort of cutesy on as a label? So we were very excited about the soap stones, because they're new. We've only started making them since December when we picked up the pebbles. I'd been wanting to do it for years, but never quite got to it. And he said, how about You Rock?
It's a rock.
So Simon,
soap, yeah.
It's a rock. Simon made a label, and it's just catchy and fun. So that's what we do for Valentine's.
So if you're looking for some little inspiration to add to the gift, or make up a beautiful collection of them to give to someone special, a soapstone, how much would one of these retail for in the special Valentine's package?
That particular one would be retailing at 40 Rand. And it depends on the weight and the ingredients for all our stones. That's how we cost them.
Okay.
For example, the cairn that you have there are two large ones and one small one. And all three together go in a bag. And then they're priced accordingly, or for the whole set.
Your packaging is obviously something you've paid a lot of great attention to detail with, beautiful organza bags to sell your cans, and it looks lovely. All right, I think the final thing remains to tell our listeners where to get them. But just one question before we do that. I'm thinking back to Sue's call about water. You obviously use water in this production process. How's your business been affected by the water situation?
You know, we've always used distilled water or spring water wherever possible. And certainly the distilled water that we're using, I heard you talking about prices increasing. Mm. I was absolutely stunned this week to find that the supplier we buy that from, which is the cosmetic supplier, they've doubled their price.
Oh, my goodness. 100%
for a 5-litre container. So we're going back to having to use bottled water. We're very thrifty with how we clean our equipment and jugs and things. If you wipe it clean and you leave it long enough, the soap becomes soap and it's no longer caustic after 48 hours or so. Yeah. And it can be either chipped out or wiped out. And any water that we use at all for cleaning goes into a bucket and goes into the toilet in the lab.
Okay, so you're recycling what you can.
Absolutely.
In terms of grey water.
Yeah.
Okay. Difficult times for any business that relies on water as part of the production chain. There's no getting away from that. Sandy, I wish all guests came to make our studio smell and look as beautiful as it does this afternoon. I'm sure our listeners would love to smell it for themselves, see it for themselves. We'll post those photographs on our social media channels. But for those who'd like to
come
and visit you, where do they find Foster & Welsh?
We open to the public to visit on a Thursday at our lab, and we're at Unit B 19 in Pinelands Business Park, and anyone's welcome to pop in for a cuppa between 10 and 2 and come and have a look and see what we do and have a chat.
And in between that, you can order on the website.
Yes, they can order online, or they could contact myself or Simon on our phone number there.
Okay, and that website is www.fosterandwelsh.com. Simon, obviously your son that you've roped into the business, is it the intention to keep this in the family going forward?
Absolutely. His young son is also becoming a budding young soap master already at the age of 4. So
wonderful.
It's definitely a family business, yes.
Well, thank you for sharing it with us, Sandy. Lovely to have you with us, Sandy Nye of Foster and Welsh. And thank you to Dylan Morris, who told us about Foster and Welch, purveyors of fine aromatics. And somebody asking, please repeat the name of the products to mix for the loo. You said you were using a little bath, a loo lozenge, the toilet, Bob.
That's what we call it, but it's bicarbonate of soda, yep, citric acid, and essential oils that have got a good fragrance that you enjoy, and particularly ones that have got good antimicrobial effects.
We're all looking for the perfect recipe to keep the home smelling a little bit fresher in these pressing times. Thanks for sharing that with us.
You're welcome. Okay. Thank you.